Let's pray. Let's pray. We can give the Lord praise. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we echo that? And can we just give a proclamation this morning and say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, God, we want your name to be kept holy today. Lord, hallowed be your name. Lord, we just pray that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, but we also ask that you continue to give us our daily bread. God, we ask that you would forgive us of our many sins when we fall short. But Lord, help us to remember, as we're going to be talking about it today, to forgive those who've sinned against us. Lord, we just pray that you would help keep us from temptation. Lord, help us as a church, as individuals, as Christ followers, to continue to strive after you. Keep us from temptation. Lead us to the way of everlasting. Help us to have that eternal perspective of your kingdom coming here on this earth. Keep us unified as a body, and let nothing separate what you have brought together. In the marriages represented in this home, in this church, in the homes that are here together, the family units that are displayed here in this church, but Lord, also the body of Christ. We just pray that, and we just pray that nothing will separate what you have brought together. So as we gather today, as we start to get into your word, and we continue this series about being the church, Lord, I just pray for a spirit of unity here today. And the spirit of unity that is here today, that it would just continue to grow, and it would just, their hearts would be open to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, we love you, and we praise you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As everybody's finding their place, we're going to be jumping all over the scriptures today, so I don't have somewhere to tell you. We're going to try to have it on the screen, and I'm giving you a chance to know your Bible a little bit better, so you have to be a little quicker on the flip there, if you will. But I am Fork Union Baptist Church, not the pastor, me as a church member. You as a church member, you as somebody who's here today, whether it's your first day here or whether it's, been here your whole life, God wants you to be the church. And so that's what we've been talking about. Last week we started a 6-week series, part one and part two. This week is, the title of the sermon is, I am a unifying member, or a unifying member. Last week we started this series, and if you recall, we handed out this little pledge from last week, talking about that you will be a functioning member, that God wants us to be a functioning member of the church. We talked about it last week as we started out, that the book that I'm getting this series from, he always points back to Scripture, but he painted a picture in the beginning of the book. If you read it, he says, one church member looks at church membership as a place to be served, while another church member, or the other church member, looks at church as a, or the biblical church member, we should say, will join a church so they can get involved, and so they come to church and they want to serve others. Last week's sermon reminded us that membership of a church, the body of Christ, is to be an active and a functioning membership. So it's not, there is no inactive church member in the Bible. You, when you join the church, God wants you to get plugged in. The body of Christ, we want you to get plugged in and be serving and be a part of what God is doing here in this body and wants to do in this community and all around the world. We saw in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we spent a little bit of time in chapter 13, that we all play a special part in the church. We'll talk to the seniors, about finding their will and what their purpose is. God has a purpose for everybody here. He wouldn't created us, and he wouldn't have gave his son to die on the cross for us. He has a purpose for you. We focused on three main things last week. Membership means that we're all necessary parts of the whole. Number two, we focused on this. We talked about membership means that we're all different. If you look around, we're all different. Inside and out, we're different. Personalities, whatever else it is, but we all still are called to work together. Number three, membership means that everything we say or do has to be based on that biblical foundation of love. Not what the world says love is. The world takes love and messes it all up. But if you look, God is love. So if we look at what God says love is, and we base everything we say and do on that, we can't go wrong. And praise the Lord, we got to close the service last week by five new church members joining this body and saying, I want to be part of Fork Union Baptist Church. So can we give the Lord praise for that this morning? I can't say enough how thankful I am, how blessed I am that God and you allow me to be your pastor. It has been such a blessing. I'm so glad that I get to be a part of what God is doing here at Fork Union Baptist Church. If you recall, we ended the service by reading that pledge. So if you didn't get one, Corbin alluded to it earlier. We have extra ones out there. Make sure you grab that and spend some time praying over that, and maybe make a commitment with your heart and with your Lord and with the Lord personally that, like, you know, God, this is something that I want you to help me prepare to do, or maybe I'm going to commit today to be a church member. And it doesn't necessarily mean a voted in member, just a member of the body of Christ. So I tell you that because every week that we do one of these series, Lord willing, I'm going to close by reading one of these different pledges. So just prepare yourself for that, and I hope you can make it. If you're watching online, we'll try to put a link up, or we can send you one. If you send us a message, whatever it is, we want you to have it. So let's get into it. We've had a lot going on this service, so we want to get into it. I saw a meme this morning that said, even though the praise broke out for 2 hours, I'm still going to preach my three-hour sermon, okay? And it made me laugh. So let's get into it. Today we're talking about being a unifying member. A unifying, did you know, and this might shock somebody, that God has a deep desire for Christians to get along? Did you know that? All right, God wants us to get along with one another. He wants us to be unified. In fact, Jesus is very clear when he teaches his disciples, we read it in the Word, that the way that we really love each other, the way that we show that we to the world that we're really Christ followers is how we love each other, right? John chapter 13, verse 35, it says this. This is Jesus talking. He says, your love for one another will prove. Okay, so your love and how well our body of here, the body of Christ here at Fork Union Baptist Church, how well the body of Christ all around the world is unified and how well we get together. There should be no different churches. We're all the church. How we prove to the world that Christ is real in our hearts and is working in our life and how we are really Christians, he says this, prove to the world that you are my disciples. It's how we love one another. So as we talk about unity today, as we talk about being a unifying member of the church, we all need to remember this. He not only desires for us to be unified, but he demands it in the scriptures. It has to start there. So today, we have another three easy points. They might step on our toes, but they're easy for me, that hopefully will help us become better unifying members of the body of Christ. Number one is this. We're just going to talk about what real biblical unity is, all right? Because that's something that God laid on my heart this week to kind of look into the scriptures and study. Number two is this. Gossip and other negative talk and what it can do to unity within a body. And number three, we're going to talk about forgiveness and what part it plays in the unity of the body. So before we jump right into it, have you ever heard one Christian badmouth another Christian? Think about it. Have you ever heard that? All right. Have you ever heard someone gossip about another believer? Maybe while you're even at the church. Oh my goodness, did you hear about such and such? They're having marital problems. Right? And sometimes we've talked about it before, like we can bring it up as a prayer request. I have a prayer request. Can you pray for such and such? I hear they're having financial issues. Right? And sometimes we can even squeeze those gossiping things in to prayer requests because we just want to let people know things we heard that week. Have you ever heard, have you ever been that person who said something bad about another believer? We shouldn't talk bad about anybody, but we're talking about unity in the church today. Have you ever been that person who calls another person on the phone and complains about what you don't like at the church? That pastor, I just don't like what he's doing. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. He didn't have his shirt tucked in this Sunday. Can you believe that? Right? Such and such didn't call me because I wasn't at Bible study, and this church is blah, blah, blah. And we can get caught up in all of that. Things we don't like, things we do like that we wish somebody would do different or whatever. And what's funny is a lot of times the people that we talk to, I got to get going here because I can stay on this all day. We think we can trust them. But what people don't realize, I've gone to make visits and people say, hey, such and such just left here and they were really talking bad about you. So stuff gets back to people when you talk bad about them. And what it does is it causes hurt feelings. It causes division in the church. We have to be careful. Have you ever been to an unpleasant committee meeting or a business meeting where people just, they forget that they're part of the body of Christ and they're yelling at each other and they get mad and they leave? That's not the design that God has for the church. So today, we're going to see that not only God does he expect for you to be an active and a functioning member of the body of Christ, but he expects for you to do your part to bring perfect unity to the body. Amen? We're going to start off by talking about what unity really is. So real unity, the world defines unity as this. And I just Google, first thing that popped up. The state of being united or joined as a whole. All right, you see, the worldly definition of that is pretty good. I mean, that, you can almost think of it like, okay, that's right, whatever. And if the church did that and they lived by that worldly definition, I think the church would do okay. And from the outside, from a worldly standard, it would look pretty good if we just came together and we were being united or joined as a whole. All right? If we joined together with the same goal like a sport team does or like a successful business does, that we got this plan that we're going to thrive as a church and we're going to do well and we're going to build a new building or we're going to do this or we're going to renovate and whatever, we could look pretty successful by the worldly standards. But what jumped out at me this week is this. Jesus had a much deeper definition of unity. And God laid this scripture on my heart. John 17, verses 20 through 23, it says this. Now, I want to remind you of something. This is our Lord and Savior. This is Jesus. Praying. This is him praying. And he says this, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Did you know right here is a place in the scripture that Jesus prayed for you. Jesus was praying for you. What a sweet reminder. He says, listen what he says. I will pray that they will all be one. See a deeper meaning there? He didn't say just part of a whole. He wants us to be one. One. Just as you and I are one, he's talking to the Father, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. You see how much is hinging on the church being unified as one? He goes on to say this, I have given them the glory you gave me. What a blessing. So they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such, what does it say there, church? Perfect unity. God wants us to be in perfect unity. That the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. What a great promise that we have from Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't pray for us to be united as part of a whole. He prayed for us to become one. Right? When a husband and a wife are joined together, the Bible says they become one. They're no longer two people, but they're one person. They come together. And that's God's design for the church. In fact, the wedding and the marriage is a good, he uses it throughout the scriptures as an illustration of what the church and God and Christ and the church is supposed to look like. Jesus expects us to be one, but it isn't possible unless each one of us is truly one with our Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus was praying through our faith in Jesus Christ and with our relationship there. If we're not one with God and each one of us is not living according and following God and seeking after him with everything, with all of our heart and all of our strength and all of our mind, it's impossible for us to have that perfect unity. This is something that I believe that the early church understood. And they took it seriously. If you read Acts chapter 2, I've got the scripture here. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, it says this. All the believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, so if you're here today and you just want to hear a good sermon and go home and eat some fried chicken and whatever, listen, the scriptures in the early church, what they want you to do, not because I'm anybody special, but we're preaching through the word and we're talking about things, devote yourselves to the apostles' teachings. As somebody who's teaching the word of God, we are to call to devote ourselves to it. And then it goes on to say this. They devoted themselves to the teaching and to the fellowship and the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. 43 goes on to say this, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They became one, church. Verse 45 goes on to say this, they sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. If you're here today and you say, well, I don't need to hear this sermon because I got it all together. Until you get to this point, until I get to this point where I'm ready to sell everything I got, my possessions and my money, and I go share it with those in need, I need to be here to hear this morning. He goes on to say this, this is not over yet. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And listen to this, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. See, they understood it. The way that they loved each other would prove to the world that they were disciples of Jesus Christ. And what did God do? He fulfilled his promise, and every day the Lord was adding to their fellowship those who were being saved. You see, this church or any other church body, the church around the world, will never be fully effective the way that God intended it to be until they become one. One with God through Jesus Christ and one with each other. And when this happens, I will promise you, we see it in Acts. You know what will take place? God will grow this church, and he will use this church so fast, so miraculously, so powerfully in things that we never thought were possible. That all the things that we once thought were important to us, our money, our possessions, here maybe in the church, this building, our preferences, our dislikes, our precious memories in this place, whatever it is, it will all be what the scriptures say is vanity. Not because those things aren't great, and not because there's anything wrong with holding on to all those things, and nothing wrong with having precious memories and things being important to us here on earth, but compared to the joy of being part of a perfectly unified body of Christ and doing eternal things, it's vanity. This is the kind of unity that the Apostle Paul wrote about in the church, to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, he says this: make every effort. Now see, right there, he says, make every effort. Every time we come in here, we have to make it every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. If we're united in the Spirit, you know we're going to be united as one. If we are truly being led by the fruits of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and we're united in the Spirit, that tells me we're one. And he goes on to say this, binding yourselves together with peace. The Bible, if you have a Bible or a hymnal book with you, it is made up of all kinds of different things that fill this Bible. No page is the same as the one before it or the one after it. But what brings it into one book is the binding. It is binded together, and it becomes one. How hard would it be if you had to read the scriptures and you had to read the Bible with one hand like me? No, I'm just kidding. But with all the pages out of order, and just that, it's the binding together that holds the church together and makes it effective and makes it useful for God's kingdom. God's word is telling us, each one of us, that we have a responsibility as a member of the body of Christ, as a member of his church, to be a church member who is a source of unity. And we're never to be a source of disunity or somebody who's being a divisive force in the church. Just like we talked about last week, a functioning church member bases everything that we do. The only way that's possible if we face and just place and base everything that we do on that biblical foundation of love. Doesn't mean we'll always agree, right? That's part of living life here on this earth, but it does mean, and the Bible is full of people who didn't agree on things, but it does mean that we're willing to sacrifice our preferences for the sake of the unity of the body. And it's not easy to do. You know why? Because we naturally want things the way that we want it. We naturally want things, to see things the way that we see it in the church, or the way that we want the ministry we want to see happen, or the way we want things done. We naturally want to stir up others, or maybe get others on our side to do the things that we want done. That's natural. But God wants perfect unity. God wants perfect unity in the church. And I believe this leads right into the second thing that we're going to talk about today. Number two, gossip and other negative talk. Now, there are two things that I really want to talk about this morning. We're going to cover those real quick at the end of this point. But before we get to those, we have to realize this. This is the first thing we really need to realize. The church who becomes one, a church that is unified the way that Jesus prayed that it would be unified in John chapter 17, this is a church who is powerful for the kingdom. This is a church that is growing, never stops growing. There's no limit to what it can do. This is a church that is going and going out and getting involved. And they're not going to say, I'm complacent, I just want to come and hear a good message, get me a cup of coffee and go home, and I don't want to be involved with all that stuff during the week. This is a church who is growing and going, and they're doing powerful and mighty things. It's a church with an eternal purpose that goes beyond what they want, because they're already trying to set it up for the next generation to thrive more than they were. But few things can tear a healthy church apart like the sin of gossip and negative talk. That is the truth, church. Sadly, many church members today fail to see the seriousness of the sin of gossip. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 through 31 says this. Don't take my word for it. Let's take the Lord's word. He says this: their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and what, church? Gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. You young people here need to realize the seriousness of disobeying your parents. It's listed in here with some really bad stuff. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. That's an awful list of sin. And that's just a little piece. I encourage you, go home and read. Go home and read Romans chapter 1 and see the things he talks about. He talks about men defiling their bodies and having relationships with other men and women doing the same thing. He talks about all the things. We think there's new stuff going on in the world, but it's not. But here in the middle of all those things that we would consider really awful sin, right in the middle is this little word. He says, and gossip. See, we like to judge. I read this week just in Romans, he says, God shows no favoritism. God doesn't show favoritism. He looks at the heart, and sin is sin. And Jesus told us what? He said, if you break one commandment, you might as well break them all. Right in the middle of all those sinful acts. Haters of God, all those things. Murderers is gossip. We have to remember that the early church says, early in Romans chapter 1, it says this. The scriptures say that God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. That's a side of God we don't want to look at. We don't want to really think about. James didn't beat around the bush on this topic either. James chapter 3, verse 6 says this. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting their entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Church, look at me for just a second. This is something that just dawned on me this week. I believe this: if an arsonist came into this building in the middle of the night and burned our whole campus to the ground, and we got here the next morning and we were discouraged and we're like, oh man, this building, this historic building, where are we going to have church? I believe it would not do as much damage to the church as someone, a church member, that likes to gossip and talk negative and stir up things. Because the church is going to keep going whether we got a building or not. But when the body gets separated, that's when the real damage is done. So how do we deal? How do we deal with or respond to the issue of gossip in our church? Well, here's the two things that I want to point out real quick before we move to the last point. A, number one is this. Do not be a source of gossip. All right? So it's not rocket science here. And one way to combat it is don't gossip. Right? And I'll tell you this. If there's any doubt in your mind, if there's any part of you that says, is this gossip? It's probably gossip. Okay? So if there's any part of it, I was sitting around with some new members the other day talking, and I was like, I'm preaching on gossip, and I think I'm gossiping right now. So I had to check myself, right? And that we have to constantly be checking ourselves. We have to keep our mouth shut. If there's any doubt that I am gossiping or stirring up strife within the church, I am called by God and demanded by him to keep my mouth shut. Or as James put it, just control your tongue. Secondly, if somebody in the church begins to share gossip with you, you have the responsibility as a part of the body to keep unity, to gently rebuke them. And notice I said gently. I didn't say go judge them and say, you're a sinner, you're gossiping. You know, I would never do that because that's going to cause more problems in the body. But maybe you could just say these words, maybe these simple little words. You know, brother, sister, I'd rather not hear about that. I'm going to focus on the good things that's going on at church. If you have a problem with them, let's go talk to them about it. You can be a mighty warrior in the battle for unity in the church just by saying those simple words. You know, I'm not trying to be rude, but I really don't want to hear about that. Hopefully other church members will start to do the same. And before long, those who like to stir the pot and they like to gossip within the church, they'll learn that it's not tolerated here. And it ain't welcome here. And nobody wants to entertain it. And you know what will happen? They'll either leave the church or they'll get their act together. And they'll jump on board with what God is doing. And we hope it's the second part of that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says this. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life, anybody here, you want to enjoy life? Listen what the Bible says. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Pretty simple. Love life. Love being a part of the church body. Love seeing the church thrive. Rejoice when you see new things happening in the church. Control your tongue and stop the gossip. This is how we become a unified member of the church and the body of Christ. We talked about it. Real unity is us becoming one. Not just united as a part of something, but we are one. Number two, we talked about, we got to combat the gossip and the negative talk. And we got to encourage one another. That's what the Bible says daily. It says, go encourage your brother and sisters. And last but not least, let's look at the last point that's on my heart for today, and it's this. Forgiveness, and what part does it play in that perfect unity? Church, I wholeheartedly agree with the author, Tom Rainer. He says this about forgiveness, and I quote him. He says, unity in the church will not happen if members have unforgiving hearts. All right, we're going to read that again. Unity in the church will not happen if members have unforgiving hearts. All too often, church members, we harbor hurt feelings, people in general. We harbor bitterness because of something another member has said or done to us from years ago. We talked about it last week. It can be something from 20 years ago. Too often, members are angry or they're hurt by the pastor or deacon or maybe something they said and they didn't even realize they were offending you. So today, if I stand before you, as I stand before you, I say this. If I have ever offended you from the pulpit or anywhere else, I promise I didn't mean to. All right? If there's probably somebody here in this room that at one point in time has hurt my feelings or whatever, and they probably didn't even mean to. But we harbor these hurt feelings and these things, or maybe it's something that I told you that I was going to do, and I never followed through with it. That probably has happened to everybody in this room. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. That'll make me feel bad. But we have to understand this. We have to remember, if we're gonna be a unified church, if we're going to be a church who forgives one another, we got to realize that we all sin. And every church you go to is filled with imperfect pastors, leaders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and every person that walks in the door is imperfect. We all fall short. And we all have to decide. When we get to that crossroads, should I forgive or should I not? When we get to that, we get hurt feelings, we got that bitterness, and we get there and we got to stop at the crossroads. I like what the Bible says. It says, stop at the crossroads and choose the old godly way. We got to stop and we got to choose. Am I going to forgive or am I not going to forgive? And we got to get back on track. And I believe we have to decide to forgive. We know that's what the Bible says. And just like gossip and negative talk, church unity is absolutely torn apart when members refuse to forgive one another. Whenever you have that thought that you shouldn't forgive somebody, I would encourage you to do this. Just look at the cross. Whenever somebody doesn't deserve to be forgiven, you take a glance at the cross. Spend some time looking at the cross. And think about what Jesus did for us. Be reminded, I need to remind myself, that Christ loved me so much that he died on the cross for me, even though I did not deserve it. He didn't deserve to die, and I didn't deserve to be forgiven. But he expects something with that. We're to also go and forgive others. And it kind of puts us in our place. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. It says this. Now, this is what we call the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to read it from the NLT this morning because it's a little bit different. And I like that just because it switches our mind up instead of just reciting something like I often do. That we think about what he's saying here. Jesus says this. He says, pray like this. It doesn't mean we have to repeat it word for word. But pray like this. He's given us a model. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now we could stop right there, but look what it says in verse 14. He goes on to say this. He says, if you forgive those who sinned against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. You see, we can't pick and choose which part of the Lord's Prayer we want to pray. And we want to be answered, and we want to live out in our life. If we're going to expect God to forgive us of our sins, we have to do our part. We got to strip away whatever it is. If it's our pride, whatever it is, we have to humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness, and we also have to go and humble ourselves and grant forgiveness. This is how we maintain that perfect unity within the church body. That's the only way, is we have to be forgiven. We have to forgive each other. We have to realize, just like the scripture says, that none of us are perfect, and we have to make allowance for each other's faults. This is what we talked about, just as a recap before we close. We have to understand that perfect unity in the body is when we all become one. Nothing we have is ours anymore. He says, look, for the greater of the church, for the greater of the world that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, it's all about that. It's all about the body. It's all about the people, not about me, being one. And we need not gossip. We need to refrain from negative talk. We shouldn't be negative. We shouldn't be going out gossiping anytime, but especially not about the body and in the body of Christ. And we make it known to everybody that gossip, negative talk, it's not welcome here. Everybody is welcome here. You, no matter what you've been through in life, where you are in life, you are welcome here at this church. But your gossip and your negative talk is not. And that needs to be the mentality. And number three, we have to be a church body that forgives. Even when our flesh, even when the enemy, even when Satan is telling, don't you forgive them. They don't deserve to be forgiven. We forgive. This is how we promote, and this is how we protect that perfect, precious unity of the body of Christ. I hope and pray, as we close, I hope and pray that we're already learning, that you're already learning as much as I've been learning, as I've been studying these different things and the importance of church membership and being a part of the body of Christ. Maybe you're being reminded. You've already knew these things, but the Lord's bringing it back to the surface, and you're being reminded that church membership, being a part of the body, is all about sacrifice. It's all about giving. And it's all about forgiving. Amen? Amen. So before we close, before we pray, we're going to read this pledge. If you've got that pledge, if you'll just pull that out and look at it. The second pledge of this series, and it says this, and you can find all these in the book, I Am a Church Member, that I've been studying and going through and using it to reference the scriptures that you saw today. It says this, I am Fork Union Baptist Church. I hear some paper rustling. When you get all that straight, we'll read through this together. I will seek to be a source of unity in my church. I know there are no perfect pastors, staff, or other church members, but neither am I. I will not be a source of gossip or dissension. And one of the greatest contributions I can make is to do all I can do in God's power to help keep the church in unity for the sake of the gospel. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, we're going to talk about it at the end of the series, what a treasure it is to be a part of the body of Christ. And Lord, I just pray that starting with me, that we would take these pledges, not they're not the scriptures or anything like that, but Lord, the heart of these pledges is to bring us back to what a church member is all about being a part of your body. You're a functioning member that finds their spiritual gift, and we get plugged in, and we find an eternal purpose of our life. And we say there's got to be more than just working, having stuff and possessions, just like Solomon wrote about, that we just end up leaving to other people and we don't get to enjoy forever anyways. Letting go of all that stuff that we once thought was important and just following you. And just following you and giving everything we have just to be effective. An effective church, an effective Christian. And we just go out and we share the gospel with a hurt, a suffering, a depressed, an addicted, an abusive, evil, dying world that so desperately needs to hear about a God who is eternal, who is just and holy, but also who is love and forgiving. Lord, I just pray today that if somebody's here today and they've never received salvation, forgiveness of their sin, and they've never done it, they today would place their faith in you, Jesus Christ, and believe that you died a sinless man that had never sinned, gave his life for them, that they would have eternal life. Lord, I pray that they would receive that today, that your spirit would be working overtime, that I can't even speak the words that you can speak into their heart and into their life. Reveal yourself and let us take this pledge seriously. Let us be a functioning member of your body. Let us be a unifying member of your body in everything we say and everything we do, so we can go prove to the world that you are real and you are alive and you have a purpose for each person you create. Lord, we love you again and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's something that I can pray with you about today, maybe you just need to spend some time praying, God, make me a unifying member. while we're singing these songs, let's praise the Lord. We're going to continue to worship God, but let God work in your heart as well. If you want to come and be a member of this church and you say, just like we saw last week, we welcome you. That's what this time is for. So whatever it is, we invite you to come and to share what God is doing in your heart, to pray, or to maybe become a member of this body. Amen? Amen. Come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.